All year long on Alabama Public Radio, we've been looking at water, specifically the condition of Alabama's drinking water supply and the health of our rivers. The APR News team will present a number of stories over the coming weeks on the subject. It's a story of politics, pollution, economics, and the obvious need that water is there when you turn on the tap. To that end, APR News Director Pat Duggins traveled from one end of Alabama to the other to answer the question, where does your water come from?
It's Sunday afternoon on Lake Guntersville. It's 95 degrees outside, and Douglas Webster is calling it a day.
It was okay. It's a little slow. Still, the fry, we're finding fry around the piers.
And if you don't know what a fry is...
baby bass.
Webster's a bass fisherman. That's where all the lingo comes from. While Webster secures his bass boat, Braulio Pedroso is just now dropping his fishing hook into the water.
Oh, I just came in about 5 minutes ago, and it started to bite already. So I bet it would be good as soon as the sun goes down a little bit.
But Pedroso isn't interested in catching bass. He's sitting on a wooden dock with his back to all the boats out on the lake today. Pedroso is fishing for crappies.
Crappie is the best. Good eating for everybody. The kids, when you fillet them, it's white meat and tasty.
For Braulio Pedroso and Douglas Webster, Lake Guntersville is a fishing hole. For cities like Muscle Shoals, Florence, Decatur, and Huntsville, there's a more basic need, and filling that need can get loud. Lake Guntersville is part of the Tennessee River, which is a primary source of drinking water in North Alabama. This pumping station draws water from the Tennessee for residents of Huntsville.
Today we're pumping a little over 25 million gallons a day through this plant alone.
Gary Bailey works for Huntsville Utilities. He says demand is so predictable, you can set your watch to it.
The peak times are early in the morning, and they're on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
And Bailey says it's not due to this. Or this. But rather, this.
And every sprinkler guy sets the sprinklers up for Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and they set them all up for the same time. So those are our really days that we get hit the hardest, are Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the morning.
Four turbines pull water from the Tennessee River. From here, it travels 4 miles through 60-inch pipes that date back to the 1960s. The first stop is here at Huntsville's South Parkway Water Treatment Plant. It sits behind a locked security gate just south of town. Chlorine and other chemicals are added to remove bacteria and pollutants. Ben Brewer says the next step is a series of filters.
These filters will trap anything 0.45 microns or larger. And all the bacteria is larger than 0.45 microns.
But it's not just bacteria that concerns environmentalists. There are two coal-fired power plants on the Tennessee River, one on the east side of the state and one to the west. That raises worries of chemicals like arsenic and mercury getting into the water supply. The Tennessee River takes care of North Alabama. Cities like Tuscaloosa and Birmingham in the central part of the state rely on water from the Black Warrior River Basin. A series of locks and dams was put in to create Lake Tuscaloosa. Residents here drink the water from the lake while coal barges carry cargo down the river to the Gulf of Mexico. This arrangement doesn't make everybody happy.
Well, the smell is similar to a sewer.
That's Penny Bailing. She's visiting Tuscaloosa from North Carolina on business.
The water color is a brown color, and it is, you see pollution. You see, actually, as we're standing here talking, we can see the current moving, and we can see trash in the water.
Bailing isn't an environmentalist or a hydrologist, but her line of work gives her the chance to see bodies of water across the country up close.
We have alignment. Are you ready? Attention, please.
Bailing is aboard a dragon boat.
Get out of the boat if you're soft! Come on!
Well, I tell them if you can imagine a stretched-out canoe, which is holds 20 paddlers, a drummer, and a steers person, and they all have to synchronize and work together, that's pretty much what a dragon boat is.
Let's go!
Bailing's company goes from state to state holding dragon boat races to raise money for local charities. The Tuscaloosa Junior League is sponsoring this event on the Black Warrior. Bailing says it's easy to see when a lake or river is healthy and when it's not.
The cleanest water I've ever been in and worked a race was in Montana, where you can see all the way to the bottom. It's so clear that you can see the rocks on the bottom of the lake.
It's not just homeowners who rely on water from the Black Warrior and its tributaries, but businesses as well. We're at the Black Warrior Brewery in Tuscaloosa. Long before customers belly up to the bar, co-owner Jason Spikes goes to work in the back.
In the brewing process, I basically want to rinse, run water through my grain to try to get all the sugars I can out of it.
Spikes is standing on a 10-foot-high platform, water hose in hand. It takes almost 800 gallons of water from Lake Tuscaloosa to clean his stainless steel brewing tanks and make his latest batch of beer. Spikes admits his livelihood depends on keeping Lake Tuscaloosa and the Black Warrior clean, and tonight he's ready to put his money where his water is.
20% of our beer sales are going to go to the Riverkeeper, and we also have donation jars set up here.
And if you want to know what a Riverkeeper does, just go to the bar. Nelson Brook just ordered, and he has a specific flavor in mind.
Lock 17, as it's affectionately known, is the lock next to Bankhead Dam, which is the northernmost major dam on the Black Warrior River. And, I hadn't had it before.
Brook is the Black Warrior River Keeper. He's the head of a nonprofit environmental group whose sole purpose is to protect the river from pollution and overdevelopment. Brook says he hopes that's the message people take home tonight.
Well, hopefully they're going to take away the connection. And also, if they didn't know what the source of their drinking water is, which is also the source of the water for this beer, they'll go home knowing that.
About 60% of Alabamians get their drinking water from rivers. The remaining 40% have to drill for it.
Groundwater is underneath the land surface, so it's sort of out of sight and out of mind.
Marlon Cook is with the Alabama Geological Survey. He leads the team that finds new sources of groundwater like this one near Selma. That job often means a lot of hiking.
Okay, so this rest stop, you know, it was like most rest stops. It had a visitor center and a parking lot and...
We're on Highway 231 near Montgomery. Cook leads the way to an abandoned concrete slab, which used to be a bustling rest stop.
The well is still here, so we were able to save the well.
Cook and his team used the rest stop's old water well to test quality and quantity for surrounding well fields that serve the Montgomery area. These wells are maybe 1,000 feet or so deep. If you want to see the deepest well in Alabama, you need to know someone with the right set of keys. Cook and I are in the town of Ozark between Troy and Dothan. Their well reaches over 3,000 feet below ground. When their water comes to the surface, it's over 100 degrees. The town is happy with their system, but Marlon Cook is worried.
I'm holding a hydrograph, which is a graphical depiction of continuous water levels over a long period of time.
A hydrograph is a white map with black squiggles. The squiggles go up and down across the page to show rainfall that fills up wells like Ozarks. It's called water recharge. The low squiggles mean...
That is the dry season where we have very minimal recharge in our aquifer.
And the high squiggles?
The peak is the peak of the recharge season, which normally occurs in the spring during our wet season.
This is why Cook is worried. The high squiggle for 2015 springtime rainy season is half the size of the squiggle for 2014's rainy season. Cook says that could mean a drought within weeks.
For the fall, our stream levels, habitats, things that are dependent on plentiful rainfall, there could be a concern for the coming fall and then into next spring.
The big worry is the peanut farms around Dothan. Still, the southern third of Alabama depends on well water to live. That includes cities like Montgomery, Dothan, and Troy, as well as Baldwin County. There's just one big exception in that part of the state. About 10 miles west of Mobile sits Big Creek Lake. It covers 5.5 square miles and is the primary source of drinking water for the city. The process may sound familiar by now. A series of 8 turbines pumps around 65 million gallons of water out of the lake every day. It travels through 60-inch pipes roughly 4 miles to treatment plants for distribution. The last stop on our trip around the state is a study in contrasts. Big Creek Lake is west of Mobile. On the east side is Mobile Bay. Seagulls here compete for food in the marshy areas near Interstate 10 and U.S. Highway 90. People don't drink the water out of the bay, but there are environmental concerns. At the north end of the bay, far from the noise of traffic, is Five Rivers Delta. The Mobile, the Spanish, the Tensaw, the Apalachee, and the Blakely Rivers all empty at one point into Mobile Bay. 14% of all the fresh water in the nation flows into the bay here.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people don't realize that.
Stephen Carey teaches biology at the University of Mobile.
They don't realize the size of this drainage basin that we have here. It's the fourth largest in terms of discharge coming through here.
One catch is those Five Rivers also deliver pollution from 3 states.
Oh, North Alabama, parts of Georgia, and even in North Mississippi.
When it comes to the condition of Mobile Bay, we thought we'd ask a familiar face.
Here we go. We have alignment. Are you ready? Attention, please. 1, 2.
Penny Bailing and her fleet of dragon boats made their way from the Black Warrior River and Tuscaloosa to a fundraiser here at Five Rivers Delta.
When you look down in the water, you can kind of not quite see the bottom, but you can see a lot farther down than you can in the Black Warrior, for example.
Despite the upbeat assessment, Stephen Carey remains worried. He knows people who have lived along Mobile Bay for decades, and they see the difference development has made. Pollution, politics, and the need to keep the water flowing. Those are just some of the topics the APR News team will be examining during our series on Alabama's water supply. You can listen in during Morning Edition and on All Things Considered, or go to our website, apr.org. I'm Pat Duggins, APR News in Mobile.
Let it run. You got enough depth right here, right? You're not hitting bottom right here, right? Okay, perfect. Good. Let it run. Just making sure I know I'm in a shallow area. All right, hold the boat.